I'll read a few verses in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we've received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, that ourselves your servants, for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. I'd like to read again, and I want to speak particularly about this last verse we were reading, verse 6. But God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is a most striking verse. You wouldn't think so when you read it at first, but it has tremendous scope. In fact, when you compare it to what is found in Scripture here in Corinthians, in this verse particularly, you find that this verse occupies all of time between eternity and eternity. In that sixth verse, you have a brief view, of all what you call time. You know, there's a little space we call time. Before that, we don't know, it was not measured by years and so we call it eternity. Unending. There's no schedule for it or of it. And the same thing will be in the future. We'll not be counting days or years or months anymore. It'll be an eternal day, as the Bible tells you again and again. While here in this verse you have what happened in this space of time between eternity and eternity. Between the eternity of the past and the eternity of the future. So it's one eternity, but in it there's a tiny little slice you can cut out and call it time. And that slice is found here in the sixth verse we were just now reading, a most significant verse. God to command the light to shine out of darkness. Now this particular period of time began, as we tell you here in this verse, it began with a period of darkness. Let me read it to you. It tells you so in the first chapter of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Notice the darkness. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. Here you have the creation of light. There was darkness before that. And when you turn the scriptures, you find the reason for this. You find that when God made heaven and earth, he made it perfect. He never makes anything that's not perfect. So he made that be perfect. But there was a power that bitterly opposed God and resisted him in every way, and the Bible calls him the devil. And you read in different passages of the Old Testament scriptures that the devil set himself against God to underline God's purposes, to thwart his ways of doing things, and so did all he could to hinder. And he raised a rebellion against God, and as a result, the world was swept with darkness, the fearful period of satanic evil, and so forth. And that's what you have, the darkness, what you have here in Genesis chapter 1, the first two verses. It was the darkness that came into existence because of the devil's sin. Now it reads in our text that God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. And it says so. Remember in the first chapter of Genesis, God said, let there be light, and there was light. He spoke light into existence without any trouble. He did what he said to do. He said, let there be light, and there was light. Now that's what you have in our text here this evening. God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Yes, there was darkness, and then God spoke, and there was light. Now something like this was repeated later on, very significantly. I'll read it to you. God spoke and there was light. My trouble is to find the pages fast enough, so I have a little patience. God commanded the light to shine out of darkness, it says in our text, and he spoke, and darkness took the place, light took the place of the darkness. Light came into existence, universal light. The light all goes through God's creation. It wasn't always lighting all every time, because nights and follow days in God's purposes, day and night. But the daytime, all those many centuries, the light has shone. Now there's a second instance like that, but you have that also in this text we have this evening. God who commanded the light that shined into our hearts. He shone in creation thousands and thousands of years ago, and then later on he shone into the hearts of men. Well, if he shone into the hearts, then there must have been some darkness in that heart. Yes. Listen, let me read it to you. 2 Peter chapter 1 says in verse 19, we also have a more sure word of prophecy. For unto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shine in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Now it says this light shines in a dark place, and it says the light shines and dispels that darkness that's in the human heart. And we all know about that. Yes, the Bible says that not only is the creation in general in physical darkness, but mankind in general is in spiritual darkness. When it says here in this text in St. Peter that he commanded light shone into a dark place and until the day dawn, the day star rises, I should not talk about physical darkness. You and I are not physical darkness all the time, and we certainly have no physical darkness all the time, and for any time for that matter on the inside, when you think of your heart as such, as a physical organ. Of course it's dark in there, you can't see anything. But he's not talking about that. But he says that the light shone in a dark place until the day dawned and the last star rises in your heart. He's talking about a moral darkness. The Bible plainly says that every human being is in the darkness of sin, without any exception. We are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. And that's why the human heart is dark and needs to be enlightened. And that's what we preach the gospel for, to let the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, shine in into that heart that normally is dark. So here you have two wonderful miracles. You have the physical light brought in the Old Testament universally when God said to creation, let there be light, and there was light. All of a sudden that deep physical darkness disappeared and light came into existence. And very shortly that light was enhanced by the appearing of the sun, as you also read in the first part of Genesis. The fourth day God made the sun and light became even more pronounced and definite and so forth. And we know what all this means spiritually. It's not only light, but light is found in the Son of God. In fact, you had it in the text we were reading. Because God shines it out to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So that in Genesis 1, God called them light out of darkness, and here in 2 Peter chapter 4, he called light out of darkness, and here he shines darkness into light. Here in 2 Peter, those are the two features that are outstanding. The beginning, there was the creation of physical light, darkness. And then because of man's sin, there was the creation of spiritual darkness. Both of them speak of darkness, of moral darkness. Man is not merely in physical darkness, he's in moral darkness. He can't see the thing. He tells you so. I don't see this, he says to you very often. And it's not because the light isn't there, but because he's in the dark. And so it tells you that here that the light was shining in the darkness and God's truth came. Now, the light, of course, brought physical light way back there in the first chapter of Genesis. When God said, let there be light, and there was, he talked about physical light. The daylight, you see. But here in Corinthians, he's not talking about physical, he's talking about moral life. And again, you have thus blessing brought by a miraculous creation. God, who's shown in the darkness way back, as it says in our 8th verse of our text, 6th verse of our text, God who commanded the light out of darkness shine into our hearts, Christ now in the light of the knowledge of God is shining out in the face of Jesus Christ. And there I need not tell you, he's not talking about physical light. You and I, and very few people, there were one or two way back the Bible tells you, but otherwise, and even that was comparatively a feeble thing, but you and I have never seen the face of Christ. And so when it says the light is in the knowledge and goes in the face of Jesus Christ, it doesn't mean his physical face. It doesn't mean his literal face. We haven't seen it. Nobody has seen it. When Christ walked on earth, yes, they saw his face, but that was just the face of a man. He humbled himself. He took that place of lowly ignominy and shame and so forth. It was just the face of an ordinary man that would not particularly strike you. In fact, the people that saw that face were not moved by it and just let the hate and crucify him, many of them. So the face, that doesn't mean the face in some which you see something see when it says here, the light of the Lord will go in the face of Jesus Christ. That does not mean his physical face. That means that which the face stands for. God commanded the light to shine. And when your eyes are closed or your head is turned away, so to speak, you can't see the light. And when you're a sinner, and it says the sinner is dark in his heart, as it says here in Peter, in the darkness, this light shines, because in the darkness he can't see either. And so he needs light. God commanded that light in creation. He commands it again in spiritual salvation. He speaks. How do we know that? Because the Bible says that salvation comes by the word of God. Striking, isn't it, the lead here in this text. Commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Has shined in our hearts. Now there's nothing shining in your heart, is there? Are you aware of any light shining in your heart? If you have, you're better than I am. I've never heard of it before. And yet it says it's shined in our hearts. It doesn't mean physically. It doesn't mean the glare that you can see or feel. No, it means it in the spiritual sense. It shines into your heart because of the truth that it brings to you. And of course, that is very simple. What is shining in your heart? What is the mountain? That means something that comes from light that you can see or you can be seen by. And so he said he shines in our hearts. Well, shining is not by words in our everyday language. It is in the Bible. In the Bible, the way the truth of God shines is through the word of God. Remember, it says so. Way back in Genesis, God said, let there be light, and there was light. He talked light into existence. The light was brought into existence by words, not by anything else. There wasn't any particular shining, so to speak, in that sense. Yes, there was, of course. But it was meant to illustrate to us that the shining is not in reality, as far as eternal things are concerned, not in regard to the natural seeing, but the spiritual seeing. It says he shined into our hearts. Have you ever felt any sunshine in your heart? Ever seen it anywhere? You don't see anything whatever inside of your heart. And yet it says he has shined in our hearts. It doesn't mean physical light, it means moral light. It means the light that convicts man of who he is and what he needs and so forth. And that light not only shines in the heart to show him what the light is, but it shines in God's word to show what God is like. And therefore, here you have to begin with, in this portion of scripture, you have the darkness to begin with, and that way back at the beginning of time, and sin came in, the darkness came on the face of the earth, we are told in several places. Darkness came into the human heart when he rejected God's grace. He's in the darkness of sin, and needs the light of the gospel, the grace of God to shine in. And when that shines in, it's not a physical shining, it's a moral shining. He's no sense of any physical experience. There's no glare of light in his heart or anything, a glare of light that he can see around about when he's converted. There's nothing visible in. So when it says light, that means in a moral, spiritual sense. And just like God made physical light by speaking, so he makes moral, spiritual light in the human heart by speaking. That is, life comes through the ministry of the Word of God. Now you look at this text here, this lovely text in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. God commanded the light to shine out of darkness. He shines in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now you look at that text and you notice a very striking feature. I think it's very striking. You find that you begin with darkness and you end with light. At the end there's light and no darkness. And that God's great business. Sin came into the world, and with sin darkness came. Darkness on the face of the earth and darkness in the human heart. And so light was needed. And God shone. And it says that light is not something that flashes around. The light is simply that written to you in words. God said, let there be light. He didn't wave some arm and clear. He said it. He talked light into existence. He made light a reality by words. And that's what the light is. The Bible says the word of God. Thy word is the light to my feet, to my path. We are saved by the light, and yet that light is called the word. The light is not what you do, but what you say in God's economy. God said, let there be light. Said, you do that with words. And the words came by the light came by the efficacy and power of the word spoken. And it's still the same way today. Light comes into your heart, not by something flashing, not by miraculous experience, not by something that nobody else has ever seen. No, it comes in the simple way of words. The word of God speaks, and he tells you that in this lovely verse he was reading just now. God commanded the light to shine out of dark, and he shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now you can look at these and you notice that there's a gradual development of that very idea of light, because light, as I've already said, light is transformed, transmitted by the avenue of words. You know, we use it ourselves often. Somebody tells you something and it kind of gets past you, and then they explain it, and all of a sudden says, oh yeah, now I see it. You can see it with your eyes closed. When you say, I see it, you don't mean with your eyes that you see it. You see it with your mental capacity. And so the Word of God gives you the understanding of spiritual truth. It's not what you see in a physical way. It's what you see and grasp in a spiritual way. And that's what you have here. It says the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus, that light shines in our hearts. Now I was reading to you from 2 Peter that the heart of man is black. He calls it out of darkness into light. And that's why it says the light shone, it shines in the dark. That's what light does. And he tells you that that light is God's word. So God's word shines in the dark heart and reveals God's mind and will and so forth. And then he goes on to say that it shines in our hearts. And again he brings the word light to give the light. The light of the knowledge. That is a striking term, the light of the knowledge. How true that is. In your understanding and mind, the light of the knowledge. Time and time, hundreds and thousands of times you've heard people say, yes, I get it, what you're saying. You get some knowledge by something you told them. The light shines in upon you and makes you realize that there's such a thing you can know. God's word is something you can absolutely rely on. It's the light of the knowledge. You notice it doesn't say in this text, to give the light of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That is what he says. To give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. That's what light is for, to make you know things, as I've said already. Thy word is a light. And by light you learn to see things in a spiritual sense, like you see them physically in the eyes of your head. By faith, you know God's truth, because God's word reveals it and tells it is there. The light of the knowledge, the knowledge. Now, first of all, you start with darkness. You start darkness in creation. Then start with darkness in the human heart. But then the light comes. First of all, the light of knowledge. Then the light of the glory of God. And then the night, light in the face of Jesus Christ. You notice it starts with darkness twice over, but it ends with light. He doesn't go back to the darkness, though it starts with darkness and ends with light. And he's talking here, of course, as all of us realize, He's talking to Christians. When he says us in his word, the apostles have commanded us to the life cherub and brought us into the knowledge of the glory of God and so forth. We have this treasure in earthen vessel. He's talking about believers. He doesn't talk about mankind in general. Mankind in general doesn't see. Because the way to see is to hear. This text tells you that the light of the knowledge, and it's light, and the light of word says, thy word gives light. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, the light, but thy word is God's word. You read it again and again and again and again and again in the Old Testament. Is how you know things. And you and I know the truth because God has spoken. It's the light of the knowledge. Yes, knowing casts a light that makes it sure to you that you know what you're thinking and know what you're talking about and know what you believe in. The light of the knowledge and of the glory of God. And that word, I wish you had time to go to it. I wrote down a few of them, but it's hard for me to find them here, but print not too extra. But it says so much of the glory of God. Again and again and again it's mentioned. The glory of God. The glory is spoken of as his wisdom. It's spoken of as his kindness. The glory of his grace, it says. When you meet some great person, for instance, some big shot and so forth, and talk to them, you find that person is very kind in talking to you and nobody, while you're thrilled by it. You see glory, that man sheds his glory and his kindness to you, the glory of the grace, and the very fact that Christ was ever kind to mankind and met their need, glorified God and showed him that he was God. The glory was manifested in him. And so you can go through the scriptures. That word glory of God, divine glory, is found again and again and again. And that the word that in its essence means something that's wonderful, that's great, that's outstanding, that's shining and beautiful and so forth, that has ability to meet every need and so forth. You can look at that word any way you like, almost, in the New Testament, the glory of God. But you find that that glory is seen in the actions of God through his word, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God. And the only way you know things absolutely is through words. All that you know now, we were talking today about some boy that sent the paper, that some colored boy that committed 4 murders just a few weeks ago. He didn't go to school. Van Burrell knew very, very little, and so he was on the street, of course. He was not held by the word, and so he just went wild. The word is that which illustrates, which educates us. The word is that what makes us sure. And that's what he's saying here. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Now, where is that light seen? In the face of Jesus Christ. Oh, I like that expression here. The darkness begins this verse, this wonderful verse, this tremendous verse. The darkness begins it. God shines into those hearts, and when the light of the glory of God reaches them, then those hearts become educated and understanding, the knowledge of the glory of God is realized, and then finally you have the face of Jesus Christ. Isn't that a lovely thought, the face of Jesus Christ? You read quite a bit about his face. When he was here on earth, men in their wildness and blindness did not seem to realize what they were doing. You read in Matthew's gospel that they spit in his face. You read in Luke's gospel that they struck him on the face. Time and again you read how they abused that face. Apparently they didn't look at it very carefully before they did. You know, you meet somebody, it's a stranger to you maybe, and you're introduced to him. And they introduce you to him, and him to you, or her to you. And what happens so very often, and people resent it so, that person, especially if it's a person of some prominence, listens to the introduction, and then he walks away, he doesn't offer to shake your hand, he doesn't say, hey, who are you, and don't say, I'm glad to meet you, he just turns around, and there's nothing more cutting than the person, when you introduce that person, to turn around, turn his face away from him. He's always saying, I don't care who you are, you're not interesting to me. But God's grace shines in the face of Jesus Christ, and that face was always towards those who needed him. He did not turn his face and say, who are you anyway? No. That face was ever turned to anybody in need. And I am quite sure, I can't prove it, but I will see it someday. I'm quite sure that when that face looked at anybody in need, there was a tenderness, a gentleness, a kind longing, a forgiving attitude that could be felt practically. Men would turn to him readily because of his face that drew their hearts to him. And so it says that's the way it is with God. His face is towards us. He never turns away from anybody. He never says it, well, you're no interest to me. I don't care anything about you. No. No. The glory of God, the grace of the glory shines in the face of Jesus Christ. And I love to think about that, with all that's involved in the wonderful truth that I suggested in it. Here, let me read this verse here. Another lovely verse here. It says in the third chapter of 2 Corinthians, chapter before, verse 16, nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and by the Spirit of the Lord is there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Isn't that the matchless verse? With open faith we behold him, the glory of the Lord, and we are changed into the same image, from glory to glory. What a tremendous thrill there is in that, when you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and you find him always. Maybe he turned to you before you did anyway, but always you find him turning his face towards you and never his back. He never rejects as though you're not of any importance. No. He died to save sinners, the worst as well as the best, if you can talk about the best. He came into the world to save sinners, and he loves to have us look at him. I wrote down a few scriptures where you have this idea of the glory of God, God suggested. Yeah. Read it almost after 5:2, that we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. It says again in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18, which I quoted. Then there's another lovely verse, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 17 and 17 and 18, and it says this: for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. In that a lovely thought, our light affliction works an exceeding weight of glory for us. While we look not at the things which are seen. Ah, that's the trouble with man. He looks at the things which are seen. He's interested in what he can get out of this world and what he can put into it. He's occupied with the material. But we Christians, we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so he encourages the believer by the fact that these unseen, these eternal realities are unseen and have all that tremendous eternal force in regard to the need of the child of God. We'll read you a couple of verses that I felt this glory of God mentioned. Philippians chapter 1. Chapter 1 and verse 11. Being filled with the Spirit of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Philippians 1 and verse 6, I think it is. No, Ephesians chapter 1. I know Ephesians has that idea of glory again and again. I was amazed how much it's found. Ephesians chapter 1, it says, being predestinated to the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the glory and according to the pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, when he has made us accepted in the beloved. The praise of the glory of his grace. The wonderful statement that is. Then it says in verse 12 of the same first Ephesians, that we should be to the place of the glory of his grace, that we trusted in Christ. Verse 21. Far above all principality and power and might, in every name of his name, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. Long verse there. Verse 14 of the first chapter, which is the earnest of our inheritance, the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. And time and again, in our text, it talks about the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You shall find that truth again and again mentioned. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. Give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Here you have the complete purpose of God in very short language told in one verse. Commences with God. It ends up with Jesus Christ, the face of Jesus Christ. And in between it shows how the sinner is brought out of darkness. The light of God's precious truth is shining into his heart, to give him the spiritual understanding of the knowledge of the great truth of God, called the glory of God, for all that the Bible has to say about the person and work of ever else of the Lord Jesus is to the glory of God. And it says it's all seen in the face of Jesus Christ. Now, I haven't seen faces yet, and you have neither. So it says the face of Jesus Christ, it says the face in one passage as yet by us unseen. We shall see him. And I like to dream what it will be like to see him. We don't know what that face looks like, but it'll be a face of intense gentleness and tenderness and kindness to those who have trusted him as their Savior. And we'll delight to see him and worship him and serve him. And we can do a little of that now by his help. Take this text home with you. I like to think of it. It's a lovely verse. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts, in your heart and mine. Your heart has been opened to that and received the Lord Jesus. And as a result, you have the light of the knowledge of the glory of God seen in the face of Jesus Christ. The final climax is when you see Jesus Christ. Now by faith we see these truths in his face. Then we shall see it by sight. We shall see him and praise and adore him for all the riches of his grace.